Hebrews chapter 9. I just want to read this scripture. We've read it before. I want to do a little bit of review about the significance of the blood. Hebrews chapter 9. I would like to read for our text this morning, verse 23 through 28 of Hebrews 9. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now it was it that he would offer himself often as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrificing of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we'd ask that you would take this scripture and the truths that we find in it and apply it to our heart this morning. As we focus upon the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what was accomplished for us, quiet our hearts. Help us not to be robbed of the blessing of hearing and preaching the Word of God by having our minds wander, but that we would give full attention to the work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, guide us into all truth. Perform your work. Bring about conviction where conviction is necessary. Build up the believers in such a way that we go away rejoicing in what we have in Christ. For we pray it in thy name. Amen. Last time that I preached this message, I did not finish it. I don't think that I will finish it today. We'll continue it next communion. But I won't do this next time, what I'm about to do. I want to just give you a review, so bear with me. I'm going to preach this sermon that I gave the last time that I approached this topic. I'll try to do it in about 10 minutes versus 45. But this will set up the topic this morning, and that is the significance of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why we say that is, could in Christ suffering that capital punishment, could Christ have died by way, if we were put it in today's vernacular, the gas chamber, or by electrocution, or by lethal injection? No, he could not. He could not have suffered and simply just died, or by natural causes, a massive heart attack, a brain aneurysm, and then thereby pay for the sins of mankind. No, he could not have died that way. He was to suffer on the cross of Calvary. It was brutal. His blood is to be shed for us. And Scripture places emphasis upon the broken body of the Lord Jesus, crushed and bruised for our iniquities. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, he was crushed for our iniquities, bruised, and by his stripes we are healed. And so the blood was shed with the crown of thorns, the whipping, the cat of nine tails going into his back, the nails driven into his hands and feet, and finally, at last, the blood that was spilt from his side as he was pierced on his side as he hung on the cross of Calvary. And so I want you to understand that first of all, there is a scriptural authority about the blood. Scripture mandates and refers to a scriptural authority about that blood. And first of all, in the Old Testament teaching, which is quoted in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, and according to the law, that is Old Testament, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Blood has to be shed. All right. So, in this is from the last time, so I'm whipping through the slides here. But understand this, please. In this Old Testament teaching, here we have the tabernacle, and what I want you to see or remember here, we're going to get to it. Here's the altar. Then you enter into the temple proper, but right here in the tabernacle is the Holy of Holies, and that's where the priest went once a year to atone, and he had to enter into the Holy of Holies, and that was the presence of God. And here's the picture. How do I stand before the presence of God with a sin in my heart? It was only when the priest, you couldn't have the sin in your heart, but how it be forgiven. But what is the agent? It was only when the priest entered with that blood of the bulls and the goats in that Old Testament sacrifice. So that being said, as they went into the Old Testament and as they practiced this law, what was one of the things that they had to do? Well, Christ entered into heaven for you and for me. The copy was that tabernacle. As Jesus Christ entered for you and for me into that heavenly tabernacle, into the presence of God, there was the real Christ entering into heaven. There was the copy, that tabernacle. Christ appears once, but that high priest had to do it again and again, once a year, once a year. Christ enters by His blood, and so the priest entered by means of His blood. So you have this Old Testament picture back then, year after year after year, that someday there would be the reality of this occurring. And so you had this picture, this word picture, as you went to church. You didn't have some guy just standing up there running his mouth. I mean, you had this, I don't want to say acting out as if it's just a meaningless play, but it was a picture that was portrayed of the reality of the future event, as it was lived out when they went to their worship. And so then they had to, in elements of their Old Testament sacrifice, they had to offer a bull without blemish. The perfection that God requires. Listen, I couldn't die on the cross for you. I couldn't pay for your sins because I'm a sinner too. I couldn't help you. It'd be like spiritually, it's like saying, well, let's just say we had a kidney disease. You know, I had a kidney disease, and let's just say for the sake of argument, we all matched. You know, there was a perfect match. But then they go, well, guess what? Your kidney's disease too. And they go, the next guy, guess what? Your kidney's all disease. And you know what? We all have the same disease. So I can't help you. And you can't help me. And we're all sinners, and God requires perfection was the picture. And so he, the offerer, when he offered up that bull, he would lay his hand upon that animal as, and understand this please, here's the picture, that he would symbolically transfer his sin to that animal when he placed his hand upon that animal. This is key. That is indication of the fact of the substitute sacrifice. Jesus Christ, God's Son, who knew no sin, died on the cross of Calvary for you and for me, and God placed upon him and transferred the sin of the whole world upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he died and he suffered there. Then, understand this, then the offerer had to slay the sacrifice. You had to kill it. Then there was the death and the shedding of the blood. That is what it symbolizes. Then the priest would sprinkle the blood. He would sprinkle the blood. The blood cleanses us from all sin. So he would sprinkle it about the altar and so forth and so on. Then there was this Day of Atonement. We talked about this the last time. Aaron offers for himself and his family all these sacrifices. He as a priest has to offer himself for a sacrifice because he's a sinner. Then there's two goats. There's one that sacrificed for the sin offering of the people, and the other one was the scapegoat, which symbolizes the removal of sin. The scapegoat, which symbolizes the removal of sin, as that goat went outside the camp. Now, Terry, can you get me back one? Because I want to camp out at this. There we go. Here's the key. This is what I want you to see this morning, and this is where we ended up last time. The life of the flesh is in the what? Blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and the Lord said, I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is by the blood, it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. Now you understand this. If I had a body that did not have any blood in it, there would be no life. That's what it says. I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. Why? For it is the life of the flesh is in the blood. That is a physical reality. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So blood is not just a mere symbol of life. It actually imparts to you your physical life. It is the... I don't know if you want to say the agent, but I mean, you can have everything, you know. The blood was the picture of life. And the blood then was on placed upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for the blood, by reason of the life, the blood, by reason of the life, is what makes atonement. And this is what I want you to try to understand this morning. There is some in theology, and I think that there are places where you can do this, that they say that it's not just the blood per se, but it is His death. Well, that's true. That's true to a point. It was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But folks, the question that I want to ask you this morning, can you just take and look at your Bible, and every time you see the word blood, can I just take a magic, you know, marker and cross it out and just write the word death above the word blood? And you can't do that. And one of the main reasons that I don't think that you can, and we'll get to this later whenever I get to this point in this series, but it's that fourth point in the message. Not only not only does the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ affect us spiritually, but folks, Christ Himself, when He instituted communion, said that there is an identification of the blood because He separated it out, the bread which is His body. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when He said there is a significance in the blood because this is my blood in the New Testament, it's the blood of the covenant. And so the Lord Jesus Christ differentiated it and established it, and when He declared communion as a sacrament, and it said, you know what? It's the blood too. So what we want to do is, and we'll get to that point and I'll explain all that, we want to back up and say, if there is a scriptural authority about the blood, not only is there a symbolic teaching in the Old Testament about the blood, but let us ask this morning, what is spiritually accomplished by the blood for you and for me? What is spiritually accomplished? Now, there are some words of caution as we enter into this subject. So let's put some qualifiers and say, let's try to define, what am I talking about first of all? Some qualifying principles. The blood of Jesus Christ is not a spiritual charm. There's nothing mystical about the blood. There's no hocus pocus associated with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is human blood. How many of you know, remember, maybe I shouldn't answer this question, but you know, back from M.R. Dehaan, and he advocated about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you remember that? Okay. I don't hold to that teaching. And I'm not sure. Let me see if I can... to some of it. This is it in a nutshell. Jesus Christ's blood was so pure that it wasn't just human blood. It was also divine. The problem with that is what does Orthodox theology have, what has it taught year after year after year and down through the centuries? Jesus Christ, God's Son, is 100% God and 100% man without a sin nature. So folks, even though His blood was precious and even though His blood was pure, it was also human. Yes, it's divine, and I'm not trying to minimize the blood, but folks, if you looked at it underneath a microscope, guess what? It'd be human blood. And we cannot minimize, I don't want to minimize the divine on the one hand, but I don't want to minimize His humanity on the other. It took a human sacrifice to pay for the sins of humanity. And so I don't want to go out on a limb to say that the Lord Jesus Christ's blood was so precious and so pure that it wasn't like ours or not human. Because Scripture doesn't teach it that way. He was 100% God, 100% man, without a sin nature. And so, understand this, please. The blood of Christ is human blood. Yes, it's divine. He was the God-man. 100% God, 100% man, without a sin nature. But the blood of Jesus Christ, there's no spiritual hocus-pocus associated with. It's human blood. And the blood that is shed does not have to be death by blood loss. Let's clarify that. When we're talking about Jesus Christ, when He instituted communion, and He told His disciples, He said, "This is the New Testament in my blood." He said, "It's going to be shed for the remission of sins." And when we think of that picture, we might think of the death that occurred maybe in the Old Testament by the animal. And that was as He killed and slayed that in a very bloody way. But does that mean that Christ had to die that way? No. But was the blood shed? Yes. Yes. But it does not mean that the Lord Jesus Christ had to die by having a major artery cut and then have the blood be spilled out, and that was the mode or means of death. But yet blood had to be shed. Does not mean death by blood loss. Two other things to consider. The blood, while physical in nature, has a spiritual effect. Now, I just want you to think about this a minute. This is where it gets you when you're thinking, how can you explain this? Because you can't. You have a physical, you have a tangible, there's blood, real blood, in a tangible way, physical. But yet it affects you spiritually in an intangible way. You can't see it. Intangible in the meaning it's physical coupled with a spiritual reality. There is a spiritual reality. So while it is physical in nature, there is a spiritual accomplishment by that blood. And that's what we want to look at in the verses that follow. While it is physical, there is a spiritual accomplishment by the blood. Okay? Then, while some principles may be interchangeable, and we talked about this, by that I mean, you might say, well, when you look at some of these principles at what the blood accomplishes, for instance, the propitiation, we'll talk about that. There's a specific scripture which says that the blood is the propitiation for my sin. But there's also two other scriptures which say that His death, or He, is the propitiation for my sin. So while you might have a principle taught, and while you might have things that are mentioned in Scripture, and there could be interchangeable, there's not necessarily an exclusiveness about the blood. So when spiritual principles are taught in the Word of God, you're going to have an intersection. Some of those times that you could take those principles of forgiveness and it might mention death. But there are those times when it is specific and it mentions the blood. And so what we want to look at over the next few minutes is those verses. What is accomplished for me as a child of God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? There are about 20 verses. After, when you do a word search on blood, you take out, first of all, those verses which deal with flesh and blood. For instance, in Ephesians, it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, that's talking about what? Like my blood, human blood, physical blood, just like that. So if you take out all those verses that deal, that describe man and his living, and then you take out verses which deal with the institution of communion, you're left with about 20 verses in the New Testament that describe the spiritual effect that it has on me as a believer about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's look at those verses this morning, some of those. We won't get to all of them. First of all, consider this. The blood satisfies a holy God. The blood satisfies a holy God. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 25. Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. Now, when we mention that term, we go, sounds like a tongue twister. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. There's something that is really, that is not taught as it should be in churches today, and that is the wrath of a holy God against sin. Is God love? Yes. Is God gracious? Oh, yes. Is God long-suffering? Absolutely. But there is another character about God, that He is angry with sin. Folks, we live in a sin-cursed earth. Did God create this world? Yes, He did. Do the heavens declare the glory of God? Do they? Absolutely. But folks, this was not the original condition of the God's creation. Everything that He made when He created it, He called it what? Good. But man fouled up, and there is disease, there is war, there's pestilence, there's famine, there's tornadoes, and it affects people, and they die because of sin. Because of sin. And you might think of the fact that of when you go back in your mind, if you can think of people who are desperate to appease their God, whatever it might be. Think of this. And they think, well, the earthquake happened, and so now we've got to appease the wrath of the earthquake God. So whatever they might have to do to put out to appease that wrath of the God, hoping that the earthquake, you know, might not come again. That might be elementary in our minds and think, well, you know, the things don't really work that way. But understand this, please. When I think about the character of the Holy God, what will satisfy His wrath? What will stop the God of heaven from just saying, you know what? Forget everybody. I'm so tired of the sin of mankind. Just forget it. Just forget it. What is going to satisfy it? We don't realize that the wrath of God is like a laser-guided bomb. And people forget that when they are in their sin, there is a bomb pointed right at them. And there is a time when it says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. What would satisfy the wrath of a holy God that says, you know what? I'm thinking of, martial arts. There it is. You know, those guys are so quick. Somebody goes out to punch them, and they're, you know, whoa! I'm just trying to see if you're awake this morning. Got to keep you awake this morning. I don't know what it is. But you know what? There's God. And God's angry at sin, and He's ready to strike. What is that defensive block that says, stop? What will stop that? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. the blood. That's when it says propitiation. That is the word which means the appeasement of the wrath of God towards sin. And you sin, and God says, "Ah!" Jesus said, "I died on the cross for that sin, and my blood was shed, and the wrath of God is satisfied." The blood stops that. The blood stops that, and our hope is in the blood. How do I apply it to me? Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through what? Faith. Key principle, key word here, propitiation. The blood is the propitiation, the appeasement of the wrath of a holy God, and I appropriate that by faith. Blood satisfies a holy God. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more then, the blood affects my standing before God. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Folks, we sin all the time. We sin unknowingly. But folks, do we understand that it is because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ I'm justified? I'm justified before Him? Think about this morning. If it would really be examined, if we're really going to call things what they should be called, and I'm willing to recognize that in my life, sin, I did this, and I did this, and there's this sin, and then there's this sin, and then you're going to come up and stand before a holy God. God just can't, you know, well, it's just a little, not that big of a deal, just a little white lie. That's a little covetousness, don't worry about it. You know, no problem. Yeah, I know. You know who I'm trying to sound like right now? Yeah, well. Hey, sin is sin. Sin is sin. What will allow me to sin and say, you know what? I'm going to justify. I'm just going to justify that, and you can stand before me as if you've never done one thing wrong. What will bring me up to that? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can stand before Him justified, just as if I've never sinned, is that little saying. Justified, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a marvelous truth. Justified. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, the blood affects my forgiveness, my redemption. This verse is rich. I have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was the price that was paid. Folks, you understand this. My freedom in this country was paid for by the blood of soldiers on a battlefield. Blood was shed. And I am free today in a country that grants that freedom because of the bloodshed of men who died on a battlefield. And a price was paid. Spiritually, Christ paid my sin through His shed blood. Paid for my sin through His shed blood and redeemed me and purchased me through His blood. And now, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am forgiven. And we have a phrase sometimes we say, you know what? It's under the blood. See, the devil doesn't want you to remember that it's under the blood. He wants you to keep remember what you did 20 years ago. It's under the blood. And every time the devil tries to remind you of what you think that you might get, which you're not going to if you're a believer, you remember what the devil, what he's going to get. And he's not going to be victorious. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm forgiven because of the blood. Not only that, but understand this, please. Redemption and forgiveness are key words here. The blood grants me, and the blood is my propitiation. The blood justifies me. The blood offers me redemption. The blood offers me forgiveness. But folks, I am brought near in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are formerly afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This is what the picture is. Those Old Testament saints looked for the day when that true sacrifice would come on the cross of Calvary. The book of Hebrews indicates this. And there would be the day when that true sacrifice would come, and there would no more have to be any more sacrifices because there was a true one that was offered. So how is it, in not being a Jew, how is it that I could partake of the same thing that the promises that were granted and given to them could be applied to me? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am brought near. I am made part of the family of God because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm brought near. I'm part of His family. And then Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12. And through Him, Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Key word, peace. The blood grants peace. The blood grants peace. Peace with God. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Peace with God. Forgiveness of sins because of the blood. And then Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, and we'll stop with this. Not through the blood of the goats and calves, but through His own blood He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And this is what I want you to see, and this is why I reviewed a little bit in order that we might end up here. You had the priest in the Old Testament on the Day of Atonement going into the Holy of Holies with the presence of God. He couldn't enter there empty-handed. He had to come with blood to typify and symbolize the sacrifice that was paid for the sins of His people. And then when he went in there, what did he have tied to him? A rope. You know, and bells. They could hear him walking around. Okay, still alive. Phew. You know, holy. You know, a holy God. Sin. That's pretty serious stuff. And would God accept that sacrifice? And they went in before the presence of God once a year. Here's the picture. Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, is dying on the altar on the cross of Calvary, suffering for you and for me. The sins of the whole world are placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, but yet suffering because of the sins of mankind, for your sin and my sin. What will appease the wrath of God? What will bring about the redemption? What will bring about the fact that I'm reconciled? What will bring about my forgiveness? The work had to be accomplished. And the Bible says that He entered the holy place once for all. The Old Testament is what? A picture, a type, a symbol of what in reality would occur. Now folks, I don't know exactly down to detail what it looked like, because the Bible doesn't describe it. It just says that He entered once for all into the holy place. Jesus Christ entered into heaven before a holy God, His heavenly Father. God the Son entered heaven by access of His pure blood that was spilled and shed for you and for me. And He went in there once for all, and God said, you know what? No more symbols. No more patterns. Because the reality of the appeasement of the wrath of God has been paid, and man can now stand justified. Man's sin is forgiven. Man's sin is redeemed because of the blood of the Lamb, and you can stand justified. And Jesus Christ entered into heaven before the holy God, before the holy heavenly Father, the one who cannot tolerate sin or look upon sin, and said, I don't know exactly what he said, but he obtained eternal, folks, eternal redemption for you and for me. And it was done. It was done. Now it gets, you know, some people get kind of, in my humble opinion, you know, is it up there in a vial and the mercy seat and all this? I'm not going to go there. I just know that the Bible describes it in Hebrews, and I can't tell you the exact timing, but just that He did it. Just that He did it. And He stood before the Heavenly Father. Did He say, paid in full? And did God the Father say, granted? Could have. Because that's in essence what happened. And it's because of the blood. The blood. Do we understand the value of blood and what it represents in this life? Pilate, when he went before the people and he said, this man's innocent. And he said, I don't want his what? Blood to be upon me. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And it's by reason of that life, that blood, that makes atonement for your sin. Blood is life-giving. And Jesus Christ paid for your sins and offers you life through Him. That's why Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I cannot absolve sin. You do not have to come to me and confess your sin. Praise the Lord, I'm for total payers for life. You go right to the Lord Jesus Christ, right to the Heavenly Father. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness because of the blood. Because of the blood. Every head bowed and every eye closed. What does the blood mean to you this morning? Of what Jesus Christ accomplished for you. Just spending time. Would you prepare your hearts for communion? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was spilled out. Lord, I pray that you might continue to just guide and direct us in the next few minutes. May we recognize and remember who and what you've accomplished for us, who you are and what you've accomplished. For we pray in thy name. Amen.